I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. For the lowest prices on cars and trucks on the east side of Portland, visit dodgeofgresham.com. Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A short drive from anywhere.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's happening? Hey.
Just a Friday sports.
You made it in.
I did.
I'm happy to see you.
I'm not dying quite like I was yesterday.
Oh, you were.
I feel like we're trending in the right direction.
Almost dead yesterday?
Yeah, almost dead. I'm getting better.
Not dead today.
Not dead today.
Well, that's good news, because I guess Sprague was out sick, too.
Yeah, and he had the bubble guts, which was the main component of whatever Ebola virus I had.
Oh, no.
A lot of leaking out of areas, so.
You and Sprague and Zach Collins.
Yeah, it's not so good.
Hmm.
Well, I haven't been around Zach Collins. Sprague, on the other hand, he's a Blazer honk.
Did you share ice cream?
I don't know what those two have been up to, if they were mandating or what, but I'm not sure where mine came from. No one else in my family has it, but
that's starting. My kids got it now.
Yeah, yesterday kicked my ass a little bit. In all honesty, I probably shouldn't have come in yesterday. Today, I think I would have felt bad had I not come in. Like, I felt bad this morning, then by noon, it was one of those, like, you're kind of up and, like, you're about, and you're like, yeah, I should probably go in.
Why do we feel guilty for calling in sick?
I don't know, but I do. I think, for me, like, it's still a little bit of that, like, I've tried hard to eliminate all of that stupid football, like, mentality out of my head, but there's some of that still, like, click-clacking around in there, like that spray can, you get that little rattle. I still got some of that, like, roaming around in there, and I do. I feel bad. Like, if I skip work or I skip something I'm supposed to do, I'm like, well, I could have done that. Like, don't be a pansy. Get your ass up.
Well, I didn't play football, of course, after the knee injury.
No, I mean, plus, who could expect it after that, though?
But I feel the same way.
It's you got just, some of that?
Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, you don't want to, well, you know, you have obligations.
Yeah, and I said it yesterday. I feel bad. Like, if I was, like, a construction worker or something, or
right.
I did something physical. I'd be like yesterday I could not have done.
Or if you had like a fill-in that was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, no problem.
Yeah. But it's a different kind of job. Or if like you're a surgeon or something, like I couldn't have done surgery yesterday. I couldn't have done any sort of precise movement or had to be on my feet. But we sit in a chair and we talk about gay Bigfoot. I mean, for heaven's sakes, we can do that if you're a little under the weather. And I feel bad if I miss that.
Do surgeons work sick? I have a buddy who's a surgeon. I'll ask him.
Yeah, ask him. I would think that, like, if like yesterday, I felt like total crap. Like, everything hurt. I was tired. I kept having to go to the bathroom. Like, how are you supposed to be in, like, a six-hour surgery with that going on? Like, I don't think I don't think he can do that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just a residency thing, but they like, doctors are always, like, sleep-deprived and working
true.
Long shifts and sick, and
it's a tough gig.
Drunk.
Well, doctor's different though than surgeon.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I would assume, like, I don't know about you, but if I'm having someone cut into my neck, and they felt the way I did yesterday, I'm gonna go ahead and take a pass on that. Let's take a hard left and wait a couple days until you're feeling a little better before you go slicing my fat ass open.
Now, someone says we feel bad because we actually enjoy our jobs in our workplace, and that's what it is. Maybe that's true.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, but I don't.
But I
mean,
hated football, and I still felt bad.
Yeah, see, I don't think that is true because we hate it here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you.
I mean, come on.
It's not like we're swag.
Let's
now, swag on the other hand, he would do this for free. He's just here. Like, he takes vacations,
well, look,
and he still shows up.
I don't mind working and stuff like that, but you know, my whole goal is to not work.
Exactly.
You know, so it's not like it's nothing personal, intercom, but I mean, if I had my druthers, I wouldn't be here every day. I'd be, you know, traveling or
Well, we talked about yesterday. I really need to be a house husband at this point. And I'm looking for someone with an offensive amount of money.
Look, you have that opportunity.
I know.
Strike.
Yeah.
Well, be a pit viper.
Tell me where these rich women are.
Sit in the corner.
I'm working on it.
They're everywhere, so you can just gotta find them.
I gotta find.
With your tongue.
Yeah. Gotta work. Whoa. Gotta test the air. Well, that's what vipers do.
And strike. Just strike them.
Not really a viper, though. I'm more of like a hippopotamus. We just kind of hang out in the water and wait for something to wander
strike
by.
Too.
Yeah. But something's got to kind of...
What else uses their tongue that could be slow? An iguana, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, just we're hanging out.
You are kind of like an iguana because you're big. Yeah, and they're kind of like, ooh, that's a big lizard.
Yeah, and you're not really running anywhere.
You're just kind of a snake.
Yeah, you just
hang
out.
They like to just stand still.
That fits.
Yeah, we're just waiting.
Yeah.
Gotta wait patiently.
But you can still use your tongue.
That's true.
You know what we need, though?
Slithery, like a slithery snake.
Look, getting mildly uncomfortable.
I think what
let's stick with it.
What you're missing,
yeah.
though, if you want to nab a richy rich,
mm-hmm.
you're missing redeeming qualities.
Damn it. There's always something.
You know?
I know.
So we got to find you a redeeming quality.
It's like some sort of passion that like makes me attractive to someone with money.
I think maybe you just talk up the football thing.
That's what I got
to
go.
Like, if you're going to be a house husband, what's going to be the one thing that's going to make them interested to come home to you?
Just pretend like you were a big-time football player and you have a ton of money.
I feel like that's maybe the good...
Fooler until you sign on the dotted line and then you're like, I didn't tell you?
Oh, by the way, like I can take her back over to Casa de Rop and be like, no, this is where I live. Yeah. No, we can't go in, but yeah, this is...
My home.
This is my place.
It's being fumigated right now. Don't worry. Come back in 2 months.
Things happening here, but you know...
After we're married.
Sign this piece of paper.
Lean against a better car.
Right now.
This looks like a marriage contract. Nope.
No.
Nope. It's just an I love you note. I love you.
I mean, isn't life all about trying to not work?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we love our work. We have passions and
it's my dream.
But come on, isn't everybody like if we just peel back all the layers?
Now you're coming around to my way of thinking. Because I used to take a lot of flack for this. Remember we had like Pat Williams on, the Orlando Magic president. He's like a motivational speaker. And Pat would always ask me what I wanted to do. And my answer was always nothing, Pat. I just want to hang out, and he would always give me crap, and you would too.
Well, I know, but I don't agree with that line of thinking. Like I like to do things, and I'm quite motivated in order to do them. I think you want shortcuts. You just want to get there, and be there.
What?
Well, like you want to marry a rich gal.
Yeah.
So it just takes you right to the finish line.
Yeah.
I don't mind this race, and I'm motivated. But let's be honest. If I'm being honest, I'm motivated by the finish line.
Yes.
And I want that finish line to be sooner and sooner and sooner.
However,
you know what I mean?
I do think you might be underestimating Suk's ability to just want to do nothing. It's not about shortcuts much as he just wants to go sit on a beach somewhere.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying is that I'm not like that. I don't need to go sit on a beach. I would be bored.
Yeah. See, people try to discredit my desire to do nothing. And for those people, you don't know me very well. I always get the you'll get bored, you'll need something to fulfill yourself. No, I won't.
No, I think you will.
I really won't.
A lot of people do, though.
I do not.
Now,
I'm
listen,
perfectly happy not doing anything.
Well, let's find you a rich gal.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Or a rich dude. Well, what are you willing to give up?
Well, again,
your sexuality?
We've talked about it. What kind of level of rich? Are we talking about like just not being able to work money? Or are we talking about being able to do whatever I want money? Because I think that comes into play.
What if you got a rich dude?
Yeah.
And he wanted a big bear, big bear like you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just kind of at his beck and call.
Mm-hmm.
However, the alternative is private jet. He works, makes a lot of money, so he's not around that much. He's in and out.
Yeah.
But when he's in, he's in.
Look, I'm not going to say no.
Would you be willing?
Let's explore the studio space here. I'm open to ideas.
You don't get any money, but you get to use.
I got to have some kind of allowance, right?
Well, but you get to use his stuff, right? Like credit cards. And
evidently, I do get to use it.
Yeah, in more ways than one. Would you do that? I think you would. That's how much I think you want to be at the finish line already.
It's possible.
It's incredible.
It's impossible.
Now, there are a lot of different ways to get to the finish line.
Yeah.
You know, like a million different ways.
Talent, motivation,
right.
Drive.
Right.
You know.
Just being smart.
Entrepreneurial spirit.
Not making poor decisions.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of those things,
yeah,
though.
So we need to get you.
No, we got this happening here. Yeah. I just got to start hanging out in Lake O more often, I think.
Right. That's a good start.
I know.
A lot of people down there can make things happen for you.
I got to start hanging out
at a bar somewhere down there and see what
happens.
Yeah, just go to the Lake O football games and find the mom sitting by herself. I think that's kind of one of those things.
That's not a bad play. Find the lonely housewife.
Yeah. Jordan Kent is, because I do the Ducks postgame show with Jordan Kent, and he always says I should come to his camps. Because he's one of those kids. He's a Lake O kid. He said he got to come to like his football camps. A lot of moms hanging out there by themselves.
The one caveat is I just don't think you should be courting another man's wife. However,
oh no,
with some recon, I think you can find out if he wants you to court his wife. You know, like I think that there are some lonely people who, if you asked, okay, so let's say you meet like this lonely kook.
Yeah.
And she's into you. No. And you're like, man, her husband travels a lot. She doesn't really talk that nice about him. Clearly, they have some issues. Like, I think at that point, you need to find out if the husband is, like, because he may just be like, here, have her.
It's take her off the hair.
She drives me insane. Mm. You know? And if that's the case, let's just go ahead and break that marriage up.
Oh, okay.
But I just don't
think.
See,
that's a prospect I haven't thought of. I feel like that's still a little bit weird.
It's a little weird, but, you know, look, you're just.
Any single moms that are going to the Lake O games? Can you just start there?
Well, divorcees.
Well, that was kind of my point.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
you show up at the game, you find the lady sitting by herself. You know.
Well, but it's the same thing.
I wasn't saying married. I don't want to break up anyone's marriage.
Well, I think you need an open mind about
this.
I'm
interested in your newsletter.
There's a lot of bad marriages out there.
I understand.
Particularly in Lake O.
Yeah. I'm open to a bad one. How much money's involved here?
Here he is, having the time of his life.
So, hey.
We are really off the rails to start this program.
Well, you know, I was
shocking.
Wanted to talk about you.
Yeah,
we're not on TV today. Isn't that fun? It's kind of fun when we're not on TV.
It's like we're doing something like naughty.
Well, it's like we're doing real radio.
I know. Go figure.
Because the bright lights aren't on.
Like you can't see us.
Ooh.
We paint pictures of how great looking we are when we're not.
No, far from it.
You know, things like that.
Very underwhelming today.
Well, look. The Blazers are on NBC Sports Northwest.
Yeah, they're taking on your Indiana Pacers. My Blazers versus your Pacers.
So, we're not on there, but we are on the radio for a full show today, and it's going to be a doozy.
The first segment is anything, if it's indicative of the rest of this program, buckle up.
We are going to interview Oregon State Athletic Director Scott Barnes.
I think it's really sexy.
Yes, it is.
That will be at 3:30. That's not even 20 minutes.
It's right around the corner. Knowing the way we operate, too, it may be just one long segment here.
We've got a lot of college football to set you up for. The World Series is almost set.
Well, at 5 o'clock, Mike will officially be totally worthless.
Well, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
We'll lose him.
We will set your college football DVR. We'll get you ready for week 7 in the NFL.
Got to make our picks.
We do have our college football. Picks. Yeah,
that, locks
at 4. I've got such locks.
There's a couple that I feel pretty good about. Although I felt good about last night. That was one of my bigger plays. Was Kansas City.
You almost had it.
I almost had it. You got to be freaking kidding me.
That was unbelievable. Let's do that next.
Kansas City plus 3. That was a punch. That was my biggest play in the NFL this week.
Well, you lost.
I did. I think a lot of people lost.
Yeah, I had a hunch about the Raiders last night.
That was a pretty good. That's pretty juicy action, though. Only laying 3.
Well, but you know,
Thursday night football, look, divisional game.
Well, it was one of those where you knew the Raiders back against the wall. Like the Raiders had to play well, and they did. Well, I mean, relatively well.
Kansas City should have won that game.
Well, but if the Raiders make field, like to your point about the point spread, it was about right because if the Raiders made field goals. They were tied on that last drive anyway.
Yeah.
It would have been 30-30. They missed 2 field goals.
Then we go into the overtime, though, and I still have a chance to get a push. That's why I was liking the 3.
Yeah, or he misses that extra point. You get overtime or something. But it did not work out in your favor.
No. No, it did not.
At all. The Raiders cover last second.
Damn it.
I mean, not even the last second. With zeros on the clock. I mean, that the finish of that game.
It was great.
Was one of the best finishes I've ever seen.
Dare I say, Monday night and Thursday night football this year have been they've been surprisingly good. Well, Monday night's been really good, and Thursday night, which is normally just warmed over garbage, Thursday night has I mean, there haven't been every one of them, but Thursday night football has been compelling this year.
Well, don't we love games that come down to the last play?
Yes.
That came down to the last play 5 times.
Yeah. Just kept going and going and going.
I've never seen
that.
We
had some controversy there with some bad officiating calls.
So good.
It's a little something for everything. If you had juice on it, then it made it even more interesting.
My Raiders. They're back.
Well, it's a big win. It saved
huge
their,
win.
It saved their season.
Huge win. Okay. It is 3:15. We'll be back with football talk on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, folks, Scott Barnes, Oregon State AD, will be joining us in about 10 minutes. He will tell us definitively who Oregon State's next head football coach will be.
Breaking it right here.
So stick around for that.
They got the search committee. For what they're paying, they should find a good coach. $200K?
Is that what they? Is that just a flat fee?
I think that's what that is.
How does that work?
Well, the search committee goes out, and they always have like a list of people that they're talking to. They talk to the agents, and so you'll find out whether coaches are interested, because a lot of those coaches don't want to put it out on Front Street that they're looking. So it's all through the agents, and they work those back channels to find out who may be interested. And then they'll go and put together a list. And they give that to the university, and then the university can look at it and say that they'd like to be in contact with, you know, such and such. And then they kind of work as an intermediary to try to broker that. It's like a real estate agent.
Juicy.
Yeah, you want to buy a house, and there you go. So you may find a coach that either A, you had no idea that you were looking for in the first place, or B, a coach that you didn't think you could get. And then you find out through one of these search firms that they're interested. And then there you go.
So they contact guys for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like they... Well, they get you a list.
Well, for example, like if you're the defensive coordinator at, let's say like Penn State or Wisconsin or something, you may not want it out there that you're shopping or that you're looking. Or more so, if you're the head coach at Memphis, you know, you may not want to know that you're looking everyone to know your business. And so you just kind of put it out there to your agent. And through your agent and through the search firm, you're able to put those things together. I'm guessing, like, remember when Nick Saban was flirting with Texas? I'm sure that was through a search agency as well. And that way you can do the plausible deniability, right? Well, I didn't talk to Texas. What are you talking about? Well, your agent may have talked to a guy that talked to a guy that talked to Texas, and you find out whether there's interest there or not.
Here's our Freshy poll question today. Freshy offers delicious meals from quality ingredients to energize people on the go. FreshiDoubleI.com. 1080thefan.com is where our poll question resides. And today we are asking you, do you expect Oregon to win at UCLA?
Ooh.
Whoa.
They should.
No, not without Justin Herbert. Or yes, UCLA is horrible. Those are your only two options.
I'm going to pick Oregon to win this game.
You are.
I am.
You're crazy.
I don't know if I feel good about that. Have you seen UCLA play?
Have you seen Oregon?
I have seen Oregon. Oregon's better than UCLA.
I don't know that they are without Herbert.
They are. Okay, we've talked about this. Oregon State is 11th in the Pac-12 in rushing defense, and they're giving up right around 200 yards per game. UCLA is 12th. They're giving up over 300 yards. It's like 311 yards. They are 128 out of 129 teams in the country. Royce Freeman should run the ball for 260 yards himself. He really should. UCLA's defense is so bad, and UCLA can't run the ball at all. They have Josh Rosen and nobody else.
See, here's what I think. I think that, you know, you could come on here and say, shouldn't Oregon beat UCLA? I think that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Shouldn't Oregon beat UCLA? I'll ask that question.
And my answer is yes.
But you could also say, shouldn't UCLA beat Oregon? You know, like, this is two crappy football teams, let's be honest.
They have scored, what, like 17 points the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, the Ducks. Okay, so all the talk about Oregon's defense, you know, their defense is ranked 91st.
Yeah.
And UCLA's defense is ranked 123rd, as you were mentioning. However, UCLA has an offense. It's a top 15 offense in the country, and Josh Rosen was bad last week. And not to mention that, which means that he'll probably turn around and throw for 8 touchdowns this week. Not to mention that UCLA, you know, if they don't win this game, you look at their schedule, they still have road games at Utah, at USC, and at Washington. there's no chance UCLA goes to the bowl if they it goes to a bowl.
Well, I think it's a moot
if they lose this.
I think it's a moot point at this point. Moore is fired. There's no way he comes back.
It seems like it, but you know they're not thinking that, right? So it's so funny this game. There's no chance UCLA goes to a bowl if they lose this. There's also probably no chance the Ducks go to a bowl if they lose this.
No, it's a big win for you know? If you want to get to a bowl game, this is a huge win for both sides.
So UCLA feels like a hot mess, but they have a good quarterback. Oregon feels like they're playing together, but they're without a quarterback, right? Yeah. They're beat up, they're young, and they don't have a quarterback, and they're kind of undisciplined.
Thank
UCLA heaven. Just sucks, but they have Rosen. So it's like it's two different ways to say we've got two pretty bad football teams
here. Thank heavens for that Texas A&M collapse, because without that, UCLA's two wins would be Hawaii and a squeaker over Colorado, who looks worse and worse by the week.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, their losses are respectable. Well,
They lost to Memphis by 3. Stanford whooped their ass. And Arizona got them pretty good.
Those three teams are winning teams.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is why I'm saying, I don't know. If I'm an Oregon fan, I don't have any confidence they go down there and win this game. Well, and they're a touchdown underdog.
I'm not saying I have confidence. I'm just saying I feel like they should go down there and win.
Well, if you had to pick a statement, so shouldn't Oregon beat UCLA or shouldn't UCLA beat Oregon? I would actually pick the latter. I think UCLA should beat Oregon, but there's no way I would bet on UCLA to beat anybody because they're just, it sounds like they're a mess.
Yeah.
But they still should beat Oregon after having watched how Oregon is playing, so undisciplined. The penalty. You have the two worst penalized teams in the country playing in this game.
Yep.
This is going to be ugly.
Well, and you've looked at Oregon secondary the last couple weeks, and it has not been very good.
Dude, Rosen can pick them apart.
The only saving grace for me in this, if you want to talk about matchups, is the last couple weeks, especially against Stanford, Oregon had to stack the box and leave a lot of guys on islands. And all Stanford did was basically just throw the ball up, and anytime they saw one-on-one matchups, and the Oregon DBs couldn't make a play to save their lives. I mean, that's all Stanford's passing game was against UCLA, who cannot run the football like at all. It's not quite as bad as their rush defense, but their rush offense, it's pretty putrid. And so I would assume that Oregon can back off of that a little bit and play some coverage. And hopefully that makes things a little more tolerable for their secondary against Rosen. That's the one, if you want a matchup kind of breakdown there about why this one may be better for their secondary, that would be it.
Well, this text says, I'll take the team that isn't starting a Big Sky quarterback. There's a lot of truth to that.
Well, he's not. He's the freshman. He's a freshman.
You think he's going to be good eventually?
Give the kid a break. He shouldn't be playing right now. He has no business playing, but they don't have anyone else.
All right, we'll get back to Chiefs Raiders coming up, but up next, it's Oregon State Athletic Director Scott Barnes, 328. Here is Mike with Sports Center.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Oregon State needs a football coach. After Gary Anderson up and split, who will they hire? Scott Barnes, the Oregon State AD, is here to tell us definitively right now. Hello.
Absolutely. It's going to either be Isaac or Jason.
Oh.
Well, you know, I work a little offense for you. I can be like an O-line coach, but I think that's about it.
I decline. I like my job.
There you go. You guys know where you're at. I like that.
Hey, so Bob DeCarolis always used to say that all ADs have, you know, kind of names in their head or a list in case something happened. Do you, or are you starting from scratch here?
No, I think that's absolutely correct. We all do, and we had a list and always have a list, and away we go.
Let me ask you, when you're out there and you're trying to recruit a coach, what do you sell? Like when you're trying to convince a kid or a coach that Oregon State's the place for him, what do you sell him?
Well, you know what we've done because this is an incredibly special place. We had our, as you may know, we've hired a search firm, and we had that group come in and spend quite a bit of time with. Our Coach Casey is an example, Coach Rook, Coach Tinkle, some of our former players to really get a feel for this special place and what it really means to be a Beaver and who we are, a bit of our culture. You know, specifically, we love that we are the best college town, not only in the Pac-12, but one of the best in the country. We have excellent facilities. We all have more work to do in that regard, but excellent facilities, great leadership from the top, a university that is probably positioned better than it's ever been in its history, thanks to Ed Ray and so many others. So we've got a laundry list of things that we can sell and do sell. But as important as anything is just getting a feel for what a special place this is and why so many of our coaches want to be here.
So you say you have a list and you kind of have an idea. So then what does the search firm do? Walk us through, you know, what they help you with.
Yeah. So you know, right now it's just simply going to lay the land and the search firm will help take a look and get a feel for interest across country, talking with third party to agent conversations to understand the interest level of those that we are thinking about. And that'll obviously be pared down. And by the time we get towards the end, we'll know exactly where we sit.
Okay. So give me your, I don't know, give me a profile. What is it that Oregon State is looking for in their next head coach?
Well, it all starts with what we look for in every head coach. And that's impeccable character, a high energy and passion and intelligence about what they're doing, what their plan is here for this place. All things being equal, some ties to the Northwest, to Oregon State would be great. Everything else being equal, setting coach compared to a coordinator, again, depends. Everything else being equal, you take a sitting head coach in that regard. And certainly the recruiting pipeline, we want to attract a high level student athlete here. So what does that look like? What does the success look like in the track record of those we're talking to in that regard, whether they're head coaches or assistant coaches? How have they impacted positive change and how they've recruited? So several things that we'll be looking at. But again, it starts with the character of the person, their fit in this environment and the energy and intelligence with which they conduct their business.
Why do you, would you be interested in someone with ties to the Northwest or Oregon State? I mean, can a good coach?
Absolutely. Let me reset what I just said, which is everything else being equal, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. That would be a bonus. But that first, what you look for is the excellent coaching you know, when you think about somebody from a different region, there are some advantages to that too, aren't there, in terms of opening new pipelines and recruiting. So all those things will be considered.
How much can you pay the next coach?
Just a little bit more than you guys are making.
Oh, I don't think you know our salaries.
We're that, kind of a big deal.
That wouldn't get you much.
I thought you guys were in the millions.
Oh, God, I wish.
That's what I was told.
Yeah, I wish.
Well, but in all honesty, like in seriousness, what happened with putting the money back on the table? I'm assuming that is a huge advantage for you guys to be able to go out and afford to spend somewhere in that $3 million range, which seems to be kind of the going rate for a Pac-12 head coach.
Yeah, and absolutely. When you think about where we sit today, we really have a wonderful opportunity, clear path forward, that we aren't dragging a buyout with us in the process. You're absolutely right. We've pressed reset. Our student athletes are energized. Corey Hall has done an excellent job in galvanizing that team. And now we have a chance to move forward in an unfettered way and a chance to, without any strings attached and without dragging a ball and chain with us, we can get some things done for sure.
You know, some people, myself included, I'll be honest, when Corey Hall was named, I thought it was interesting that you hired a corners coach that had only been an assistant for 3 years, but seen kind of the personality and the fire. Is that ultimately why he was named the interim coach, simply because of the, I don't know, maybe the energy he brings to a team that they probably needed it at this point?
It was exactly what it was about. It was about that energy, as well as the connection, trust, and respect that he had earned in his position. And that obviously had him ascend to the top in the position. And he's done an outstanding job for us.
This is Oregon State AD Scott Barnes. Now, football-wise, does a coach's system matter? Offensive guy, defensive guy? We've talked a lot here about the idea of running like an option type of offense, like Navy does or Georgia Tech does. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we think about the fan experience and who you can what you can recruit to. All those things are part of the mix. But again, it starts with the availability of excellent coach, and we won't let the tail wag the dog. system's important, but it's not more important than the right leadership capacity and the right all the other pieces we've discussed earlier when we think about this. So we'll see what that lies. Would I suggest that maybe an offensive coordinator over a defensive coordinator? Potentially, yes. Head coach over a offensive coordinator, everything over an offensive coordinator. Everything else being equal, yes. We also don't want to paint ourselves in a corner. We do want to keep an open and a fresh look at every opportunity as we narrow it down.
So you hired Kevin Stallings as basketball coach when you were at Pitt. Through that process and other hiring processes, what did you learn about hiring a coach that maybe you can apply here?
Well, you know, it's there's a lot of moves to be made, and you know what happens is as you go through the process and other jobs are open, you've got to be ready to compete. You have to be ready to compete. You have to be ready to pull the trigger. It's hurry up and wait for a bit, and it's very dynamic. The landscape gets very dynamic and moves very quickly here down the line, and we've got to be ready for that to pull the trigger at any given moment, because there will be competition, obviously, in the marketplace with jobs opening and candidates looking at various options.
Do you have any kind of timeline for the hire? Because I would imagine, you know, it's a little hard with a staff, like you're going out and recruiting, but you know, one, and I'm trying to be fair here, but there's a good chance that none of these guys will be back if the guy comes in and the new coach wants to hire his own staff. So, you know, is there a timeline or a sense of urgency that you want to get this done sooner than later, or is it after the bowl season? When does this occur?
That'll rest on the availability of the candidate that we're targeting. Certainly what we think about is that December 20th day, which is the new early signing period in football. And again, that's not the end all, but if we could get it done before then, that is an added advantage to us. The earlier in December we can get it done, the better. But it'll depend on a candidate event.
What about facilities? I know you had a big announcement yesterday, and then there was, you know, the weight room money was frozen and all that. Can you just update us on where you're at with the weight room and then what you're going to be doing moving forward?
Well, I have no idea what the weight room frozen. If there's $1 million frozen out there, I'll take it today. So that's erroneous completely. What we are looking at in terms of facilities is the next step in many areas, and certainly the west side has got a lot of attention. We've got to understand what we're doing there and how we're going to move that forward. We've got a facilities master plan process starting literally in the next 2 weeks. That'll do.
Uh-oh.
I think we lost him.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Hello, Scott.
Oh, sorry. Am I it's back? Okay.
You're back.
You are back, but you're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry about that. So this facilities master planning process gives us a look at a 10-year vision of across all of our facilities, and then a deep dive on priority projects that will ultimately roll in our institution's next campaign. Timing couldn't be better. Look forward to that, and obviously part of that deep dive will be football-centric projects.
How important is that, in all honesty, to the health of the program? You look around the conference within the last, 6 years, everyone has built new facilities. You guys are kind of the last to really jump in the fray and go at this. But just, you know, in this arms race, how important is it for when you guys, you know, recruit to be able to say that we aren't last in the conference?
Well, first of all, it's evolutionary, right? So I'm not sure when you say we're the last up, it's what's next. And so we've just finished over $50 million of facility projects, including obviously the Valley Football Center, a Truax refresh with a graphics and lighting package there. Recruiting the facilities is absolutely part of the mix. And sometimes we get lost. And the notion that it's more important to have the bells and whistles than the actual facilities that deliver the services to your student athlete experience. So we'll keep being very mindful of those facilities producing the outcomes that we want for our student athletes and certainly for the fan experience moving forward.
Well, Scott, thanks for joining us. I know it's hard for you to understand that we do not make millions. and we politely
by that. I'm just shocked.
Yeah, I know. for playing fart sounders and doing what we do. We politely decline the job offer, but thank you.
All right. Well, we'll go after our next candidate.
All right,
guys,
Scott.
Thanks a lot. A lot of fun. Have a great weekend.
You too. See you later. Scott Barnes, he is the Oregon State Athletic Director.
Look, I think he's facing the biggest hire this school has seen in 20 years. You know, you make the right hire here with the money they're dumping into the facilities, and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses there, but you make that right hire, and I don't think the Gary Anderson hire ends up looking that bad. I do think you got an out here, you got a chance to hit the reset button, but you're going to have, you had 2 years under Mike Riley where it was clearly going south. You're going to have 2 years, actually three under Gary Anderson where it was really bad. And you bring in the next guy, he's not going anywhere. When you pay him, he's not leaving that money on the table. And so you're going to give him at least 4 to 5 years. And if it doesn't work out for the next guy, you're talking about a decade then of being at the bottom. This is beyond imperative that you get this hire right.
Yeah, it is. This is, and it's on Barnes.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be
on his shoulders.
That's right. Cause I know I was just reading, but a lot of people were not happy with the Kevin Stallings hire. I don't know what expectations are at Pitt for Pitt basketball, but they didn't like that. I think Kevin Stallings is a good coach. You know, he was a assistant at Kansas, you know, way back in the day. I've always liked him, but you know, fans are hard to please. And that's neither here nor there what the fans think. Win and it will all be okay. But you're absolutely right. This is huge for Scott Barnes.
But I thought it was interesting that, you know, he was honest where he said, you know, obviously we'll hire the best candidate, but I think that, you know, when he said all things being equal, Northwest highs and an offensive mind, I think that's, if you're putting together the dream candidate, I think that's it.
Yep. All right. Text the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305 with your thoughts. We'll get to some of those. We'll get back to Chiefs Raiders. And we also have our college football picks coming up here at 4 o'clock in 15 minutes on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, a lot of feedback regarding Scott Barnes, the Oregon State athletic director who was just on with us. He said that weight room freeze thing was erroneous.
Yeah, he's calling horse bleep on it, but
that was Oregonian.
Yep.
Your boy over at the Oregonian reported that. Here are a couple of text messages. Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. They could hire an experienced guy like Tyrone Willingham.
But my question would be, why would Tyrone Willingham take that job?
Oh, he was joking.
Oh, okay.
It's a joke.
I would certainly hope so.
This is coming from Nick. He said he's sure to resurrect the program. Slam dunk, right? Go Dogs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ty Willingham.
Who are you thinking of?
When he said Ty Willingham, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but in my mind, I was hearing Kyle Whittingham.
Oh, yeah, he's not coming there.
Sorry, Ty Willingham, my bad. I was thinking...
Yeah, you remember old Ty Willingham?
I do remember Ty Willingham. He was good at Stanford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what...
He was.
Yeah, he got the Notre Dame job and the Washington job. He did something, right? Just didn't quite work out there. But I was thinking Kyle Whittingham, and I was like, no, Kyle Whittingham's not coming to Oregon State.
Here's another one that says, the Kevin Stallings hire at Pitt was inexplicable. No one else wanted him. He was flaming out at Vandy. He has a poor rep for dealing with players. Last year at Pitt was a disaster. Hope for Beaver's sake, it's not an indicator of what's to come.
You don't know. My question about I think it's going to be a coordinator or it's going to be a young coach. I don't, the Gary Anderson thing that you pulled the Wisconsin coach. Well, one, that didn't work out, but at the time I thought it was an unbelievable stroke for Oregon State to get Gary Anderson. I just honestly don't know another Power Five coach. It's not like you can overpay. It's not like you've got this massive budget for assistance, or you've got this sleeping giant here with this great tradition. So for me, the idea of pulling a Power Five sitting coach, I don't think that's realistic. So I think you're either going small coach, lesser division, or you're hiring a coordinator someplace.
Somebody said, did he just basically say Jonathan Smith?
Well, there's an element to that. I mean, he did say all things being equal, he would love a guy with Pacific Northwest or Oregon State ties, and all things being equal, he would prefer an offensive guy to a defensive guy. That would point at Jonathan Smith.
Said Jonathan Smith.
Yeah.
He said, this guy here says he said a bunch of bland, generic nothingness. Yeah, he's very polished. There's no question.
Yeah.
Ducks AD wouldn't be breaking up on the cell phone. Aha.
I don't know if we'd get the Ducks AD on the horn.
Now, here are a few insinuating that perhaps Scott Barnes fell asleep on the air with us.
Coach, AD.
Well, hashtag.
Never forget.
Never forget.
You know, we were talking about this earlier in the week, and teams really don't tackle in the fall anyways. How many days do you would you venture to guess that you would go live anyways? Coach? Hello?
Hello.
Oh, we're still there.
Hello.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Hello.
Coach? It's still one of the best things to ever happen in the history of this radio program.
A couple of other, like, these are right back to back. This guy's like, I feel like I trust this guy. I don't know why. And then the next one's, I somehow feel worse about the future of Oregon State after listening to this guy.
Yeah, it's, what are you going to do?
Who knows?
You know, but like some people are throwing out Scott Frost. I don't think Scott Frost is coming. I think Scott Frost is going to be a big name. And with openings at places like Texas A&M, Tennessee, UCLA, Nebraska, I think that's probably more where Scott Frost is going to end up. I think he's going to be kind of the hot commodity.
I got one name for you. I have one name.
What do you got?
Well, it's two names, his first name and his last name.
Okay. It's not like Madonna. You're not going to hire Prince.
Bo Baldwin.
Yeah. I think a lot of people.
Youngish coordinator. Go get him. Northwest ties.
And when they hired Gary Anderson, that was the guy that I was screaming about at the time because he was the head coach at Eastern Washington. And I think if you don't end up getting a coordinator at a major school, I never understand why that's viewed as such a bad thing to go get a guy that's been really successful at the FCS level, right? That one to me always fascinates me. Like Chip Kelly came from there. Chip Kelly came from New Hampshire. Bo Baldwin came from Eastern Washington. I think he's a great offensive mind. The best coaches aren't always sitting, you know, at Nebraska. They're not always sitting at Texas or Alabama. You can find a good coach. That's not going to cost you $4 million a year that maybe will stay for a little bit if you do go search some of the lower level. So even if this doesn't end up being a name that you've necessarily heard of, it doesn't make it a bad hire.
All right. Thanks for the feedback on that. Thanks to Scott Barnes for coming on. Should be interesting. He did mention that December 20th date. That's that early signing period date. So once the season ends,
you got to go.
He was talking about, and he alluded to it there, where it gets crazy.
Yeah.
That feeding frenzy starts right when the season ends, and it gets nuts right in there. So that's the end of basically after Thanksgiving weekend. I think it's going
to
heat up.
As soon as the Civil War is over, you better have your ducks in a row and offering someone a contract because you have to find a way to somehow salvage this recruiting class and get a guy that's going to come in here and bring in a staff. You just can't have this be another wasted year. So it's imperative that you have your ducks lined up in a row here. And what was it? Texas hired Tom Herman. What was it, like 2 days? Whatever, after the season was over? It's like they had their guy. So find him, identify him, get him. As soon as the season's over, sign him.
All right, we all have college football against the spread locks, and we'll give them to you in our college football challenge next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.